evening. There we go. Make sure the mics are on. Mics are all on. Welcome along. Anyway, this is the Tuesday Club. This, of course, is the Bluffer's Guide to Bluffing a World Cup Guide Show.
Yeah.
We're not bluffing.
We are.
Stay knows
about
it. I'll tell you what, will you do me a favour? We're going to bring this microphone in so the two of you can share. Just think, these are like the Four Tops, except there's two of you. And just all remember, it's LFC till we die.
Or England for the next few weeks.
Or when Jamie decides to go full falling down and takes us all out. Anyway. Right, there we are. Good evening, as I said before. Right, so tonight we're going to be having a look at the transfers. We're going to be having a look at the World Cup. We're going to tell you who we think are the top tips for the World Cup, the players to look at, and why. The songs are pretty crap this year, so I'm just that's the only thing that I've looked up about the World Cup. Of course, this thing is brought to you in association with, look, I'll do the little spiel and I'll stick it into the podcast, right? But it is brought to you in association with Reds Bet. Reds Bet is a fans betting site, so that whatever bet you put on, everyone always wins. We'll be doing something separate around our fantasy football team, and we'll probably do that tomorrow night using the tactics board as a vehicle for doing it, right? Because it's the eve of the World Cup, and given the problems we've had with setup, we've broken our camera, we've had nowhere to record, we've dropped the camera 6 times at this stage, we aren't using it. We're using my laptop at this point in time, so we've gone full high tech. Anyway, tonight we've got Ray Dickinson, we've got Andy Young, also known for all his World Cup campaigns since we started the Trippers, with Steve Brown, and we have James O'Regan in here. I'm not going to do too much talking tonight, which is waffle, and where it is now. So lads, I did an agenda, right, which is very rare for me, right? And let's get on with this. And Andy, I know how excited you've been about the World Cup as well, so look, I don't want to ruin it, right? And just before we get into it, because everyone's going to be asking, let's just briefly discuss, because Liverpool have done a lot of business since the transfer window hasn't opened, right? And it is time to go there. And look, I suppose, Andy, you, since you do get a nod and a wink every now and then, you have a big announcement to make about who the next player we're going to sign is called. What's the name of that player?
I forget.
And who does he play for?
Valencia.
I forget though. So tell me, Andy, who do you think we'll sign next?
Well, I'll tell you, we're not going to sign. We're not going to sign Fekir, because he is his knee has 18 months left in it.
Do you reckon?
So it's be a lot of money.
18
to spend.
Months.
Yeah,
I'd take the 18 months. We could win a Champions League and a league title with him. Would I'll ask you like this: would 50 million to win a league title be worth it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you could win. I think Liverpool could spend 50 million on a goalkeeper and win the league.
Yeah.
And would you know the name of that goalkeeper by any chance?
I don't know. Like, we're probably going to have to spend big on a goalkeeper to improve the situation. And the two names are out there is just Alisson and Oblak. After that, then, we're probably into keeping Karius, because Butland just isn't going to improve the team to the point that you're going to have a kind of a 10-point swing where you're going to have enough points to put a league challenge on. So,
yeah, right. You're well known around Liverpool ways, given that you're from Liverpool, and everyone knows everyone there. A bit like when people come over to Ireland and say, "Do you know? I've got a cousin there in Belmullet. Do you know them? Yeah. Tommy. Anyway, Ray. You know lads in the club and everything. You actually know lads in the club, don't you?
I do know one specific lad in the club.
Do you want to tell us what's going on, since you've got all the transfer knowledge? If anybody wants to know where Grizz gets his transfer knowledge, we'll of course tell you that Ray Dickinson is the source of all.
I think Grizz is absolutely gutted at the moment with all of this with Fekir, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the ITKs were kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, because obviously things developed unexpectedly around the medical with Fekir. I mean, look, I don't personally think you can lay a massive amount of blame on the club. They're doing their due diligence, and something's come up, and there was obviously time pressures with France going to the World Cup, so it seems like a sensible thing to take a step back. So I've got no issue with it. Let's just see how the World Cup unfolds now, not just from the Fekir point of view, but a few other players that we might have our eye on, you know.
You'd have to have an issue with the leaks, you know, like reputable journalists came out and said that a deal is done and everything else. I think Liverpool would have been aware of the history with the knee already. Okay.
To some extent,
had,
yeah.
It wasn't until he had the MRI, they were able to identify exactly the extent of it. But I think they just need to hold off on having the likes of Joey speaking about it when it's not finalised.
But Andy,
it's too many times now the club has been left with egg in its face.
Okay, can I stay, right, I want to ask you here, because like you got to Liverpool a bit, right? Fair play to you. but come here to me, you know, for me anyway, the whole take from this Fekir thing is that most of the talk, the inside information, the knowledge that's come out, excuse me, has actually come from the French side as opposed from the Liverpool side. Like, Liverpool essentially has just been like, we're on holidays.
There's literally been, as you said, there's literally been nothing. Mm-hmm. All the links, all the leaks, everything has come from the French media, from RMC, from Get French Football, from L'Equipe. That's where all the news has come from. Mm-hmm. And the likes of Joyce and Melissa Reddy and Dave Malik and whoever else picked up on that. Mm-hmm. Very noticeable that James Pearce was one of the quieter ones.
He's on holiday.
Because he's on holiday. This is the thing. This is why it's all coming from France. This is why.
See, this is why James Pearce is the man. He knows when to go on holidays. Nothing's going to happen, lads. I'm off. Boom.
All the information coming from the French side, when they would have been privy to more information with regards to Fekir's injuries, with regards to his knees. Mm. He was out for a couple of, he missed a fair chunk of games this season as well. He's apparently on this training regime where he has to be managed training wise, so he can only train certain amounts or certain times, or whatever it may be. So that's a red flag. That sounds like fucking Paul McGrath. Like.
Okay. James.
Yep.
50 million to win the league.
Yes, of course I would, because it's been so long since we've won the league, so I would. But
it's not as simple as that.
No, it's not.
What is the actual, you know, that's just a statement. Mm. Yeah. 50 million to win the league. What do we do? Chip in?
Crowdfund.
Well, I think the fans could crowdfund. Like, if we said to the club, look, you don't pay the fee for Fekir.
Coffee.
Actually, if anyone, coffee's a really good thing. You should go down there and buy us 2 points and you'll get your name on the new bunker wall. Anyway,
let's just think about it though. The club's approach is always, you know, we talk about the money ball approach and all that sort of stuff. They don't want to pay all that money on an asset that potentially could be pretty much worthless in 3 years' time.
But right, isn't that the case though? Like, if tomorrow, say, Ramos tackles Van Dijk in the World Cup, right? And his knee is destroyed, isn't that a risk that you run?
It is, but if you know
that someone's knees are made of Pringles, then what's the point, especially
with the way Liverpool play, the style they play, all the sprint and all the press and all the hard training.
You
want to be buying someone that has at least two good knees.
I don't want to labour, so Fekir can feck off now at this stage, right?
It's not dead in the water.
I mean, all we're talking about was speculation, and journalist's job is to come out with something
and get clicks,
you know. And
like, I don't know,
they could have exaggerated this.
There's been lots of rumours today that basically they will still sell him, but.
Of course they will.
His knees are bad.
What I mean is, like, to us, like, but they at a reduced rate, like.
Yeah, but the thing that's sort of led to this now, just the pause button being hit, is the World Cup.
Absolutely,
it was a bit of a rush job to try and get it done before the World Cup. We showed our intent to get it done, and we come unstuck. I mean, we just tried to rush.
I think the whole thing around the reveal, I just bring a bit of calm back to the Liverpool fan base, right? I just want to remember the last time we rushed an attacker deal through before the World Cup was for Licky Rambert. And you just need to remember that and not worry about it too much. Okay, look, I want to move it on, because obviously the big thing that everyone's talking about now is because we need to bathe ourselves in cleansing, sorrowful gel and come out arising with a new man in front of us to say, you are a new Messiah, we love you. So who's our goalkeeper? Alisson doesn't want to come to us, and neither does Jennifer, Philippa or Sue. So, or Cathy or Annabelle too. But if it's not Alisson, right, from what I know, Leno's done at 25 million. But Butland, would he be one, Ray, for you?
I'm not.
It is like a really shit team park, Butland.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the whole competition now. I'd prefer us to just stump up the cash on Oblak personally.
Yeah, okay.
I've been of that opinion for well, since the Champions League final now.
People seem to have this thing that we can pay the release clause and Oblak just walks away of Atletico Madrid. Like, people seem to...
I'm not saying he'll come, but...
No, but people seem to talk down Atletico Madrid of how big a club they are.
They played
how many Champions League finals in the past couple of years. They won the Europa League this year. Like, they're a massive club. Why would Oblak want to leave the second best team in Spain?
They are a massive club, obviously, but they have got a history of selling their players. They have a history of bringing players on to an elite level and selling them for big money. And I think Liverpool are probably in the best position to buy. Oblak is probably the number one goalkeeping target in the world at the moment. And for the first time in a very, very long time, Liverpool are in that position where they can probably...
If he's the number one target, he's going to save it. Save percentage.
We're going to get into it. But
I'm certainly not going to get excited about any goalkeeping targets. Like, you know, from Karius to Butland, are you talking about any sort of a point swing?
Karius to Butland is like the start of
48 games.
Beautiful Celtic.
You bring in a big goalkeeper, De Gea level, and all of a sudden we can challenge for the title.
Yeah.
So if you can get Oblak, fair enough. Stump up the cash. There's no point.
James Hooper says Oblak and Fekir 140 million. We win the league. Just point out it's Fekir 50 million.
Yeah.
We win the league.
Well, I don't think it's that straightforward with Fekir at the moment.
I just don't see Liverpool paying 88 million quid for a goalkeeper when Ederson, who completely changed the way Man City played, who won the league, not didn't win the league for Man City, but won the league with Man City last year, completely transformed them.
Mm.
He went for 32.5 million quid.
James Oblak.
What about him?
Would you spend 80 million to release him from his 89, prison?
89, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 89 million euro.
You're right. It could be 95 million sterling at this rate.
Well, there's rumours that he's going to sign a new deal and it goes up to 140 million. So and he hasn't signed that new contract yet. But to be honest, I haven't seen enough of him to play to really go and say I would spend 90 million on him. I've seen Alisson play. He looks a good keeper. My worry bringing someone like Butland in is you're left in the situation which we had at the start of the season. We didn't have a number one keeper. You had Mignolet and Karius, and they was back and forth, in and out. And then it was only when we got like the Klopp, you know, Karius was made number one.
Yeah.
And I think if we get someone mid-level, we face that situation again.
I think
next season
he buys Butland, I think he's the number one goalkeeper personally.
Depressing.
Why are you fucking laughing at?
If you boy Butland should be back and forth.
Butland is a massive. It's a side step. I haven't seen Butland live. Yes, haven't actually gone to the Stoke Liverpool game and watched Butland play live. His kicking is no better than Mignolet. His distribution is slow. He's not great with his hands. Doesn't move his feet very well. There is no improvement.
Yeah.
And he's going to become the most expensive goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
Crazy. Who? Butland?
Most expensive goalkeeper in the world is Ederson for 36 or 32 million quid.
But Butland has a buyout clause. Of 13 million. So you could get Shaqiri and 13. Portland.
You're the only one that says that. I've been going around telling people that. And everyone's like, going, oh,
No. We signed Leno for 25 million.
Yeah.
No, seriously, if anyone wants to get on to whatever, Redbet and lump on Bernd Leno to us for 25 million, stick €2 on that. That's you win a lot
but
of money.
To answer the whole Oblak for fucking 90 million question, you need to know how much money they have to spend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if 100 million is the budget for the summer, then obviously not.
Okay.
But if they have mad money.
I keep asking this question. The problem is, if Karius hadn't got a sick now from the doctor, right? Yeah. We probably will be all saying, well, look, if he comes back in, he hasn't got any mental issues, right? Now, the thing is, if you can't get the goalkeeper you want, do you sign a top quality centre back to play alongside Van Dijk and facilitate Karius to have a redemption?
No, I think you go for an older goalkeeper that will come in until you have the ability to go and get your top number one target.
So who would that be, Stephen Brown?
A 1 or 2 year stopgap. Yeah.
Has Reina gone to Milan?
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Buffon's gone to PSG.
Casillas. Why not?
Stupid.
What's wrong with Casillas now?
Better than Karius.
What about Rui Patricio? and free for Sporting Lisbon.
But Casillas is a free as well.
Mm. But like at the same time, the problem with Casillas, and I watched him when he went to Portugal, he has really slowed up when he's lost the spring.
Carries hasn't got a fucking head though.
Well, no, I don't mind.
An idea. Like,
I accept your point, but at the same time, you could probably sign a more consistent, experienced goalkeeper. So I think once you step away from the Alisson,
just say the name.
Oblak,
just say the name. Not exactly who you're going to say, so just say it.
No. Once you step away from the Alisson, Oblak, even Courtois, because the Courtois deal is up.
Courtois
as well.
Would be the interest.
Mm-hmm. Once you step away from them, there's that level of goalkeeper in Europe, which are the top end. And once you step away, most of them are just in a clump of a much of a muchness. Now, if you take statistically, Butland is one of the best in England when you boil all the numbers down and have a look across the thing. And you can understand if statistics play a big part in our recruitment, which they probably do, that's why he will be very high up our list. And if it's 13 million, then, you know, it's a bit of a no-brainer for the club. Mm. It would still make him the most expensive keeper they've ever signed because it doesn't take a Mignolet's place, right? But it wouldn't. But then you've got this battle between Butland and Karius to see who becomes number one, and you can sell Mignolet to.
I think we get a few quid for Mignolet. Yeah,
who cares?
Someone will give us a few quid.
Trapp is going to Dortmund.
Is he?
Trapp is going to Dortmund to, which will be interesting because Borky has been excellent for them.
Bar the other fucking lunatic to play us Madrid, who else would you choose?
You mean as in Kaylor Navas?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you,
we'll see plenty of him in the World Cup.
I think it was a report around Alisson is that basically Alisson has been brought in not as a number one, but to compete with Taylor Navas. Madrid are not letting go of Navas.
If Madrid aren't signing Kepa Arrizabalaga, right? Kepa. Then you can bring him in. But if you want to bring a bit of experience and you want to bring somebody who's used to playing at the top end, why don't you go and maybe get somebody like Ollie Bellman, who went to Hoffenheim and got them into the Champions League?
What was the lad that was at Valencia? Diego.
He's gone back to Spain. He's gone back to Brazil. Oh, no, the fellow you're talking, Diego Lopez.
Something like that.
But or else do you look at someone like Jan Sommer or something like that? If you're going for someone that has experience of challenging for top four, and that's probably why Leno will be signed, because he's been in a Bayer Leverkusen side who's been challenging for top four and expected to challenge for honours for the last few years, and has performed consistently, if not brilliantly.
I think there needs to be a question asked about the goalkeeper coaching as well. If you're bringing in a new goalkeeper, a young goalkeeper that you want to shape into a certain type of goalkeeper, we've seen Achterbird's body of work from Reina to Mignolet to Karius. Where's that improvement?
We'll come back to that before the start of the season. There's been mention of Cillessen as well, which we put out there. He's sitting on the bench at Barcelona. He is Dutch number one. And we've put together a small little orange crew in terms of what's there between Winnie and Van Dijk. But yeah, anyway, so lads, if it's not, though, Shaqiri, would we take him for 12 million?
Yeah, absolutely.
Only because of price, personally. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of his. I just don't think he's fulfilled his potential. And I've seen him plenty of times for Stoke, and I'm not convinced about his attitude, but at 12 million, you're bolstering your squad, aren't you?
A good shout for an experienced older keeper, Handanovic at Inter Milan.
I really like Handanovic.
In a Van der Sar type of way, massive presence in the goal, and like he is.
But is he the talk of the system that we play? Mm. We need a keeper that's going to fit that system.
That's the other
bit. Courtois doesn't fit that system.
No.
Which is a big issue. As good a goalkeeper as he is, he doesn't fit that system. So that has to be one of the main questions asked.
In what way doesn't Courtois fit it?
He doesn't come off his line.
He sits very deep.
He has a back three in front of him at Chelsea.
Anyway, look, so Shaqiri we take. I was Shaqiri's biggest fan.
Me and you raved about Shaqiri 4 years ago.
But the problem I have with Shaqiri is if he's being bought as a backup to the front three, I just don't see the goals in him.
I think he's a backup to the backup. I think there's one. It would have been Fekir plus one.
That's not going to. Shaqiri's not going to fancy that though.
But he back himself to try and get into the team.
The only problem is Shaqiri's already done this at Bayern Munich and failed. That's why he ended up at Stoke instead of going to us at the time, because he didn't want to sit on the bench and he didn't want to fight his way, and he wanted to play first team football. He's 26. I can't see him wanting to try.
Well, I think Liverpool put the work into getting him before, and then it was pulled.
Yeah.
And then they weren't going to go back in for him again.
So if it's not Fekir,
can
lads,
get a, I mean, Shaqiri can get a regular game for a lot of teams in the Premier League.
I'll put it this way. If it's not Fekir, then who is it?
Dembele.
I don't think it's Dembele.
I think it should be Dembele. Because how much do Barcelona still owe us?
Yeah. Who would you like it to be, or who is it? I mean, like, Fekir kind of just came out of the blue.
Let's be honest about this, Andy.
It did look
like there was people, there was ITKs that said back in November that he was being earmarked as Coutinho's replacement.
Along with how many other names?
I don't know, ask Riz. He has three fool's cap copy books of them.
I'm convinced they just go on to that Transfer America website and just
go for comparable players.
Yeah, comparable players. Like, click on Mane and then see, can we get more Mane?
The one.
I'm pretty sure Fekir comes up.
The one.
This is why you keep questions.
The fella I said way back to this, and it wasn't to do with ITK stuff, it was watching Ajax. The fella I thought that would fit naturally into replacing Coutinho would have been Hicham or Hatim Ziyech, the fella who's playing. Is it Morocco or Tunisia? He's playing Morocco in the World Cup. He, if you look at the stats across the leagues, he outperformed. He was in the top. He was in the top 11 players in across all the stats that we look at for our attacking players. And he has the range of passing, takes free kicks, and takes penalties. If you're going to look at fella, the only problem is he might be a bit lightweight for the Premiership, and he wouldn't cost a fortune. So anyway, that's just a random one.
You should have been looking at
right, lads. Let's move it on because we haven't got all night. And of course, nope. James, when he's trying to get us out before his missus turns on Periscope and sees her house up on the internet. So, lads, moving along to the Russia World Cup 2018. First of all, I'd like to point out, and I think it is worth pointing out at this point in time, that to be honest with you, like, as World Cups go, Russia's a bit uninspiring for a place to have it. Right, I turned on today hoping to hear, like, when Brazil was coming up, there was all deadly songs and there was the samba beats and there's the bossa nova and there was like that sense.
Take a chance on me.
Yeah. ABBA was there.
Samba Baba.
Let's face it, Russia haven't really done themselves any favours lately, have they?
No, they haven't.
They pissed everybody off.
Literally pissed everyone in the world off.
So now they're having a World Cup in a country that's pissing everyone off, so that doesn't help.
Been having Germany a couple of times. They pissed a lot of people off.
Allegedly.
I don't even know any legend on that one.
No. No, look, let's be honest about this, right? Like, it's a shit country to have a World Cup in, right? Like, for a start, it's the biggest country on the earth. Right.
It'll probably look brilliant compared to Qatar in 4 years' time.
Qatar 4 years, and then it's going to be Morocco.
The lads who get sunstroke, you know, the lads that go out and do the building and come in with the builder's tan and have sunstroke and everything like that, like, they're just going to melt in Qatar. But like, you look at Russia, right? So
there's 34,000 miles between one stadium to the other.
It's crazy. You might walk that.
England have to fly 6,500 miles.
Three time zones away.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, there's only two time zones in Ireland.
Yeah. There's one stadium expected to play the football in 30 degrees and the other one in near freezing. That's not really fair, is it?
Outrageous, that is. Mm. It's completely outrageous. Ray Dickinson.
Yeah.
Have you been, like, I'll ask
the
you.
Only one here who's got an interest. A vested interest.
Why?
We put
some money in the meter. That's the main thing. Right. So you're saying you have a vested interest in this World Cup?
Yeah, I have in a way. But are you
not scouts?
Yeah, but.
But then if you're scouts, how are you English?
Yeah, you're not English.
Yeah, but I am still English. At the end of the day, look, I do want England to do well.
Why?
Well, there's plenty of Liverpool players in there for starters, do you know what I mean? It really goes back to the fact, like, my old man always would go on about how great it was 1966 and how, you know, how the country, you know, celebrated that and obviously Euro 96 was great as well. I don't know, it's just something special about the World Cup. Obviously you love it when Ireland are in it, and it's no different for me really at the end of the day.
It is.
No. You know, that's just the way it is. I do genuinely take an interest in England doing well in the tournament. Usually it's all very negative, but obviously this time around, I don't think Southgate's got the level of baggage that most managers would have had over the previous World Cups.
It doesn't seem it's the same hype.
No, and that's a good thing as well. That's a really good thing.
It's quite a likable England squad.
Yeah.
What is?
Once.
Do you think? Mm. Like, it has Lingard and I can't stand him.
Him or his fucking dancing.
Then when I start going through a Harry Kane, I hope he ends up feckered.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at them and there's just so many reprehensible players in that England squad. It's vile. It's vile.
Yeah.
Outside the Liverpool players, I think it's just vile.
I mean, any England team, like Southgate, John Terry-less, Real Ferdinand-less.
He's basically English Coleman. Disgusting. That's all he is.
There's no real hateable players at the moment, is there, in the England team?
There is Harry Kane. He's disgusting, he's a moaning little...
He done his dickhead thing trying to claim the goal and all, but he hasn't done that in mad yet. Too mad.
No. But there is,
He's not...
He cried, he wanted to be captain.
Yeah.
You can be captain for the World Cup.
Fuck off.
Please come up to the World Cup, Harry, if you don't. I'm not going if you don't make me captain. And poor old Henderson there with his tongue hanging out, going, am I not the captain anymore? It's not fair.
Don't think he wanted to be captain.
No, doesn't want to be associated with his muck.
I'd say he's sick of being captain because everyone keeps saying he's a shit captain.
No. But come here, would you like now, you know the way in the 1966 World Cup, right, the Jimmy Greaves got dropped for the final,
and it was
very controversial, and he went on to win it. And if that happened, then Henderson would get to lift the trophy.
If Harry Kane was dropped,
Could you imagine the absolute confusion that would send half of LFC Twitter into if Henderson ends up lifting the World Cup for England, having captained the Liverpool side to a Champions League final?
It must be very for a lot of fans supporting Liverpool, must be very extremely confusing.
Yeah.
You know, they must be so split.
It's devastating for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's get on. Stephen, I have to say, what people don't realise is that Stephen has been trying to get a World Cup podcast going for the last...
6 weeks?
6 weeks, yeah. And I said, no, we're doing all the hard work on the previews, etc. around it, right? So, Stephen, this is all his rough work. He's got a lovely little copybook and he's done all his writing on it.
He's done a whole foolscap page.
A whole foolscap page on what it is. So, I'd like, first of all, to ask you, Stephen, right? How do you think Holland will do in the World Cup?
I think they'll struggle.
Do you think they'll struggle?
Definitely going to struggle, yeah.
But the Italians, you can always be guaranteed the Italians will make the quarterfinals.
They're going to struggle as well now. I don't think they're going to get out of the group, to be honest.
This is the first World Cup. Actually, it's not. I tell a lie, right? Because I only think about this in the car. This is the first World Cup since, I think, 2006 that I haven't paid attention to who's in it or anything like that. And I think it's because Liverpool have literally had nothing going on in all the other World Cups up until this year's
one. I'm not exactly inspired by it either. Yep. So... maybe it'd be just fair if they just let it all play out and then let Holland and Italy play in the final.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually fucking mad that Holland aren't there. Yeah. Look at the squad, the players available to them.
Or Italy.
Well, yeah, it is. It's fucking
They played in a friendly, didn't they, the other night? And I watched it and I have to say, they were as bad as one another. You can see why they hadn't qualified.
Okay, can I ask, who do you think now is going to be the dark horse at the World Cup, right?
Oh God! I don't know.
Peru.
There's usually someone, isn't there, that comes through.
Mm.
I don't know. Someone like Mexico. Someone random like that.
Do you remember?
There's usually someone who gets to the semis that is completely unexpected.
There will be one team that makes the semi final, right? That nobody will pick at this moment.
Yeah.
I think Colombia was the last World Cup.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously you have
that,
Brazil.
That's the part I enjoy more than anything. You know, watching teams that you don't expect getting to like quarterfinals and
Chile,
you know, things like that.
No,
Chile.
I had a look at all the Peru's qualifiers there.
Did you? All of them?
Every one of them.
Right.
18 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they were very impressive. They scored loads of goals.
Did they?
Yeah.
Who's their main man?
Guerrero.
Jerry Guerrero.
Jerry Guerrero. Is that how you say? He's a whopper. He's
Guerrero. Your man used to play for Bayern Munich.
Paolo Guerrero. He was actually, he was banned for drugs.
Yeah, but he's cleared to play now.
Cleared, yeah. A bit of cocaine.
I think he plays in Brazil now.
Yeah.
Flamingo or something like that.
Yep.
He's brilliant. Scores loads of goals.
A Boa Vista.
Yeah.
What group are they in then?
Blue are in the same group as France and Denmark.
Okay. Yeah. I was stunned to find out that Panama, I thought Panama was just the name of a canal. Mm. But it turns out it's a country,
yeah,
and they're in the World Cup.
They qualified in England. USA's group. Expense, I think.
Did they?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. Pulisic must be rubbish if Panama can qualify ahead of England. But Jurgen Klinsmann was the manager of America, wasn't he? Anyway. Stephen, you've done all the research. So tell me, who do you think who will the dark horse for Stephen Brown be?
Uruguay.
They're hardly a dark
horse. That's not really a dark horse. They've
loads of quality.
See, the thing with it is that it's not.
Luis Suarez, Cavani, Muslera, and go. How is that a dark horse?
Yeah.
There isn't going to be a dark horse. It's gotten to the stage where football is so global that there's no surprise package. There's no Cameroon from 1990 coming out.
Okay, let me propose something to you. Egypt.
I can't wait till Egypt get out of the group and have to play Spain in the second round.
But to get out of the group, they're going to knock out England and Uruguay and Saudi Arabia.
They're probably not.
No.
Saudi Arabia, Russia, which they should do. I think it's going to be a case of Salah doesn't play the Uruguay game.
We're upside down here, so
Salah doesn't play the Uruguay game, plays the second two games, they win the second two games, and they go through.
And they go through.
That's the way I'd look at it. And then they get to play Spain in the second round.
Assume
absolutely.
Okay,
that's assuming Andy, Portugal don't do Spain in the group.
Andy, who's your dark horse?
I just told you Peru.
Wasn't listening to you. Peru. Sorry about that. You watched all 18 games. That's right. Okay, so who's your favourite, Ray?
Favourite.
Yeah. When you look across all the groups, so let's take a quick run through the groups. Loads of them. Who is your favourite to come out of the groups?
Out of the groups.
Fuck. To win the World Cup.
Oh, to win the World.
Because you can't win it if you don't come out of groups.
I'm going to say France. I'd say Brazil, only that I have this thing that says it's going to be a European team that wins it.
Okay, I've noticed that none of you, I was hoping that James would say it, but Senegal. None of you fancy Senegal. Mane and Keita.
He asked who was the dark horse, and I said Peru. But Senegal would be if Peru didn't exist, but it does.
What Keita?
Is he not
playing for Senegal? Keita doesn't play for Senegal.
Who does he play for?
Guinea.
Why aren't they in the World Cup? I'm told that he's the best.
Because he kept
player.
Getting sent off.
I was told
he absolutely lambed some lads.
Do you remember Cape Verde? What happened to them? They qualified at some stage.
There's a lot of alleged
things going on. Come on,
Mane is going to rip it up.
Yeah, I think Senegal could be an interesting thing. They play, if things go to form, they could play. They play Belgium in the last 16. Belgium.
They could play England. They could play
England or Belgium. Yeah. Belgium have a massive tag of being people thinking they'll do well and they constantly bottle it. Plus, they've Roberto Martinez and Thierry Henry in charge. So.
I wanted to ask this because Belgium does fascinate me, right? So, Martinez didn't even bring Nangolan to the World Cup. Now, he's the type of player I want in my squad every single day of the week, right? He'd run through you to win a match, right? And Martinez is one of those most overrated managers knocking around the place, right? Purely because he talked nice on Sky Sports and he played a little bit of football every now and then. But the Belgium team, for all its quality, it's likely to underachieve than overachieve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agree with that statement.
I mean, when did we start really counting Belgium as a real strong team? Probably
the last World Cup.
Their last World Cup, was it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they've just sort of failed to impress each and every time. It just seems like they're always individuals. So
it's this whole golden generation tag, and I think that weighs quite heavily, doesn't it? When you're in that kind of mould. I mean, the interesting one for me is what sort of Germany is going to turn up, because they, like, was it five games in a row they've lost leading up to the World Cup? But you can always rely on them showing up in these tournaments.
The only thing I will say is that any time Germany have gone to Russia, they've failed massively. In 18 and 1945 would pay testament to that.
Yeah.
They've never had great success in Russia. Yeah. So even France, look at Napoleon. They brought the whole thing down. So if we're looking at a historical context, I wouldn't be putting any money in France or Germany to do well in Russia.
That's good. I'm not.
Yeah.
No. Definitely not. No, it's... Look, it's going to be an interesting World Cup with regards to the tactical side of things, but it's just... It's going to come down to who has the best players. And I think it's going to be Brazil.
Yeah. Thanks for that, John Jones. James, who do you think... Because you went off to have a pooter. Who would your dark horse be?
Dark horse. Spain.
That's someone tell fucking James what the dark horse is.
It's not just a bunch of tanned fellas.
I don't think they're in the top four to win it. So
who's the top
four? Literally tour favourites.
Are they? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought it would have been Brazil, Brazil, Germany, France,
and Italy.
No.
No. Never rule out the Italians. They mightn't even be in the group stages, but they'll somehow just appear in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. I mean, what about Denmark after they kind of dismantled Ireland?
And
we're just pathetic. So yeah.
Right, so and then who would you say your favourites would be?
Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah.
It's interesting that none of us have said Brazil to win this bar, James. Just there.
You haven't asked anyone else.
What? I did, yeah. I said, who do you think will win it? And you said...
Peru. I think if anyone can stop Brazil, it's Peru. Yeah. They've stopped them on a few occasions.
Have they? Yeah. At the border.
Is that not just the fact that their stadium is at such a high altitude and then...
Can't get past it.
Yeah.
I just can't get, you know, that last World Cup, obviously, they were completely and utterly embarrassed by Germany. You just wonder, is any of that going to kind of resurface, you know, when they get deeper into the tournament?
Yeah.
That, you know, that...
I fancy Brazil, like, miles out in the distance.
Right, lads, France and France are also being heavily talked up. They've got a massive squad. They're all over 6 foot tall. And like they got rid of that midget lad. What was his name? Remember the little fella that he used to play with them?
Deschamps?
No. He's the manager now. Deschamps looks like Napoleon. I will swear to God, I hope in the first match of France he comes out in full Napoleon dress and that hand's stuck in like this and just goes through the whole tournament dressed as Napoleon.
Oh my God.
Valbuena.
That's it.
He's the reason Benzema's not there, isn't it?
Who?
Yeah, Valbuena was the allegedly. Whole... It was the whole...
I don't want to know.
Alleged. Yes.
All right.
I mean, the one team no one has mentioned is Argentina.
Yeah.
I was going to get on to them as well.
Didn't you make a match out, Steve, about them not even getting out of their group?
Yeah, there's a possibility that they get caught by Croatia and Nigeria. They've no one to play centre-half. They're still relying on Mascherano. They didn't bring Mauro Icardi, which is fucking crackers. Messi.
Yeah, but they're all bringing their wives, so there's a reason for it. Like, if you want trouble, if you want trouble in your camp, I'm injured. Yeah, I'm just going to stay in the hotel today. Come back home. Where's me missus gone?
They have obviously Messi, but it seems as though that's all they have. Yeah. They don't have They have Sampaoli as the manager, which is interesting, but he's not been given the time that he had at Chile to implement systems. It's all just going to be based around let's get the ball to Messi.
When you think Messi was the first name in the team sheet and then Lanzini, like that's you have a problem.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and the fact that they had to ask Messi whether he was able to bring the ball, which is fucking crazy.
Well, I think the Messi thing interests me, right? Because it was rubbish earlier on today, but I said that Messi, if you were given a choice between Messi and the Brazilian Ronaldo or the Portuguese Ronaldo and Maradona, which two would you take to lead your team into a World Cup? And I'd always go with the Portuguese Ronaldo and the Argentinian Maradona over the other two.
Oh, you'd have Maradona. Mm. It doesn't make a difference to it.
But both of them are basically relentless winners. And they've done it and proved it at international level, right? So the one thing that Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, has over it, that he did it as well at international level. But people can argue this till the cows come home. Messi's an amazing player, and we all agree with that. There's nothing there. But at international,
he's about to have a meltdown.
I know, but at international level, he's failed. He's failed repeatedly on the big stage. Yeah. He has not. He's not won an international tournament since he made his debut in 2005. It's 13 years.
Not with the Olympics, no.
But that's not, no. I'm talking about they haven't won a Copa America with Messi leading the team. Yeah. They haven't won a World Cup, and he's been to the 2006, the 2010, the 2014, and the 2018. This is going to be four World Cups. They haven't even made a World Cup final in those four World Cups,
apart from the last one.
Apart from the last one,
could be something to do with having no magic juice injections when he goes to the international duty.
That could well be the case,
or the fact that he didn't have Iniesta and Xavi.
Di Maria, I think his best chance to win the World Cup was the last World Cup. I think with Di Maria in that side, he was Di Maria was on top form at that time, and he was as important to that Argentinian team as Messi was. Yeah. And when he got injured in the, was it the quarterfinal match? They didn't look anywhere near the team.
They were heavily talked up for the last World Cup,
but they would have won it if they had someone else up front apart from Higuain, who missed fucking how many sitters in the World Cup final.
Yeah. I know, Andy. Let's wrap it up on England, right? Because I know we had, but could you see yourself cheering for them at any stage?
I honestly could. Like, I mean, if I sit down and watch the England game, like, it's a win-win situation, really.
Yeah.
If they go out and embarrass themselves, it's funny. And if they do well, like it's gonna boost the Liverpool players' confidence that are involved there. You'd absolutely love to see Trent getting minutes out there and
Henderson.
Yeah, well, I mean, like that'd be my view. Now it's a win-win, to be honest.
The potential is there for them to embarrass themselves because the if they don't get out of that group, then, you know, it's a bit of a disgrace, really, given that they've got, was it Panama and Tunisia?
Tunisia.
As well as, obviously, Belgium. Yeah.
Okay, so we just have Trent and Henderson now, don't we? There's not, like, obviously, we're Ox.
I haven't had a chance. I think England get to the semi-finals. I think it's going to be horrible for me.
I'm not sure they go that far.
No, I think it is. I think I think they're going to make the semi-finals. Yeah. And I think
and I suppose in a way that would qualify England as dark horses, team that you wouldn't expect to get to the semi.
And I think they will. I think for a change they'll actually fly through the group, right? I think they're going to whack nearly everyone in the group over, right? I think they're just going to batter everyone.
They played better from last game, so both teams true.
Both teams, they just
have 6 points,
right? They'll go in. Who do they play in the next round?
Potentially Poland or Senegal.
Or Colombia or just
Senegal and smashed them.
Poland, Colombia,
I fancy it's
if they win the group. Yeah, it's one of those. Sorry.
So I fancy England to play Colombia in the next round, and I think they beat Colombia. So who did he play in the next one then?
Have you got them?
Germany.
In the quarterfinals?
Now hang on a second. Do we know that they definitely get that?
Yeah, no, that's done off.
Right, is, yeah. So England will play Germany in the semi-final, right?
In the quarterfinal.
The quarterfinal.
And go out.
And
on penalties.
They'll win on penalties.
Right.
That will then kick off the type of talk you've never seen.
Penalties against Germany.
Hang on. It's going to kick off the type of talk you've never seen, ever. Across every single media outlet that we have to watch. Thankfully, if anyone's watching with Jan Janssen TV, you can turn on the American channels. You don't have to listen to that crap, right? But genuinely, what will happen then is they'll get into the semi. Who did they play in the semi final?
They would play Spain.
They score one penalty, Phil.
They have.
I'll win 1-0.
I'm just thinking. The one penalty.
They have.
Bolland will save every penalty.
I'm telling you now, England have the best set.
Pickford, isn't it?
England have the best set of penalty takers they've ever had in their lives.
Name them.
Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Harry Kane. Harry Kane.
He claimed them all.
He's going to take them all. He's going to cry at the referee. I'm going to take the penalty. I'm going to take the penalty. No.
Jamie Vardy.
Vardy.
Yeah.
Kelly Alley.
Desi Alley.
Start every game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Henderson.
Sterling.
Fuck off. Henderson.
And Sterling.
Trent. Yeah.
Trent.
I don't think Sterling can kick the ball that far.
Who's the left back?
Ashley Young.
Where's your man?
Danny Rose.
No, your man. Plays at City. Him.
John
worst,
Jones.
Worst.
Oh, Kyle Walker. Walker.
Yeah, Walker. He's playing centre half. Right centre half.
Right, Grant. Sound. Him. And who's the other centre backs?
Stones and probably Harry Maguire.
You probably Harry Bleed Maguire. Harry Maguire. Gary Cahill.
You'll probably have Rashford on by the time penalties come around as well.
Rashford is going to be okay. I'll wrap up on the World Cup. So who do you think will be the player of the tournament? And also go with the surprise package, but also the player of the tournament. Just so you all know, England are going to the semi-finals, so you can all lump on that. That's another bet to stick on with Reds bet tonight, right? And as I said, Bernd Leno, 25 million, done. New goalkeeper for Liverpool.
Who's player of the tournament? Yeah. Golden Boot, Antoine Griezmann.
Golden Boot?
Yeah.
Player of the tournament?
Yeah.
Okay. Surprise player of the tournament? As in young player?
No idea. Right.
Andy?
Surprise player? Won't be a surprise to me, but might be surprise orders. That fella, Guerrero. He's going to tear up.
Jimmy Guerrero.
He's going to get a big meal back to Europe. And,
35.
And then the obvious one, I think, Brazil are going to win it, so Coutinho's going to be deadly.
That'll make me sick.
Steve,
it's going to happen, though.
I think Golden Boot and probably player of the tournament would be Neymar.
Okay.
Just the way the Brazil team is shaped to be all about him. Plus, he has Coutinho feeding him, so on.
Can I have a look at these groups here while you're talking? Keep talking there.
I think...
it's the first time I've seen these groups. It's interesting.
Surprise player, or the best young player, could be Timo Werner.
Okay, the one thing I point out, whoever wins the Golden Boot tends to whack in a hat-trick at some point in the tournament. Yeah. And only one player tends to do it, right? If otherwise, it'll be 4 or 5 goals if it's shared across.
That's
the
how Lemaire's right? got his, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm looking at... If you look at that England group...
Harry Kane against Panama and Tunisia.
Yeah.
Should have a field day.
Luis Suarez against Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Russia.
But Suarez is 406 years old. I'd say his knees are more grindier than Fekir's at this stage.
And he prefers to play in goal in the World Cup anyway.
It's the greatest single moment of World Cup history.
But I hate. I absolutely despise Harry Kane, right?
What about Cavani?
Cavani could do it, but I'm just looking at it. When I look at who's there, I think Tunisia could be dark horses in England's group, to be totally honest with you, right? But looking across that, you could look at Timo Werner for Germany. If he plays, he could potentially score goals against Sweden and South Korea. Argentina, you know, they'll get through the group, but I don't think they score many goals going through it. Colombia, Senegal, Japan, that's a toss-up. Mane could score a hat-trick in one of those goals and have himself.
If you say about Harry Kane in that group, what about Lukaku for Belgium?
I know.
He's got to face the same opposition, you know?
Yeah, and Lukaku is on fire in the warm-up games beforehand.
He scored a good few goals.
So I'd go with Harry Kane as being the Golden Boot. Best player of the tournament, I think
Kaylor Navas.
I think Griezmann is going to be one of those... Just lights up the tournament. He mightn't be top scorer, but he'll be either second or third top scorer.
I think it'll be Mbappe if it's France.
Maybe. I don't think Neymar stays fit. I think somebody who's in that group, Serbia, one of the Serbians are going to smash his leg.
Serbia could be dark horses, actually.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, very decent squad, and if that's the case, it could be
Milinkovic-Savic. Yeah. Right. So there we go. That's their ultimate guide to the World Cup here. So, Ray.
biggest load of bluff since Grizz, isn't it?
Grizz just texted me there. He says that that there's a deal done. I don't know what that in relation to. He could have bought a new gaff. He could have bought a
new chicken shop.
Could have got himself a handbag or something, or a hat to go with his 40 hat. But Ray, who's winning the World Cup? Predictions?
France, yeah.
And who's the runner-up?
If it can work out that way,
just say
any combination can, but France to beat Brazil.
Okay, Andy,
Brazil Germany final.
What about Peru?
What?
What about Peru?
Tour place winners.
See,
against England,
Brazil winners, yeah. Spain runners up.
Okay, I'm going with. I did say England would get all the way to the semi final. I'm going with a Brazil England final and England to win it on penalties.
Every knockout game,
just penalties.
They're going to Southgate is going to perfect the Hodgson art of not winning a match after the group phase. They win 1-5-0, go through on goal difference in second place, and then penalty their way right the way through.
The only question around England is they draw with Tunisia, they're in serious problem.
Listen to me, you can say that all you want. I'm telling you now, England.
Who's the danger man for Tunisia?
Al Mohammadi.
I'll tell you now.
Just 1 second there. By the way, just, it is. We have the Patini sticker book here. That's the guy to wear World Cup. And you've even got stickers in it. You'd be absolutely weird.
I was looking there at Morocco and I was thinking, that's he's out there making a mistake there.
Who's the
that's not in it.
Haven't got a clue.
Al-Mohammadi. Mohammed Al-Mohammadi.
Mohammed
Al-Mohammadi.
Khazri.
Yusuf Al-Mohammadi. Yeah. It's quoting Benzema.
Whatever happened to Yusuf?
Huh?
Whatever happened to him?
Who?
Yusuf.
Eunice Yusuf or Yusuf Yusuf?
Whichever.
The DJ Yusuf?
Don't mind me.
Right. Anyway. Ray Dickinson, Andy Young, Stephen Brown, James, thank you all for joining us tonight. Thanks everyone for watching it. It took us a while to get in here. And big thanks as well to James for letting us do here tonight. We are getting very close to our bunker being finalised. There's a Ko-fi promo going at the end that we're hoping you guys could get involved in. If you want to donate the price of a pint or the price of 2 points, for the 2 points, you will get your name on the new refurbished bunker wall as part of some lovely artwork that's going on. There's a link in the pinned tweet that you can go and go in there and we're getting lots of donations. So thank you very much to everyone who's donated so far. We will be back next year. Are you still on a tactics board or is it just like imaginary at this stage? The imaginary board.
Surely not on Friday
seasons
night.
Are finished. Like,
surely not on Friday night.
I don't mind. I've no problem. I'll do it through the World Cup.
World Cup tactics board.
Yeah, I'll try and do them kind of after every round of group games.
Okay.
It's very Portugal won't be very good.
That's Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night at 7 o'clock.
That'll be very
if
good.
Get something together tomorrow. If we get a couple of lads.
That game should get you sort of into the swing of things, really, at that point.
The fact of it is, the people aren't going to see. Everyone a lot of games. An eye on Russia, Saudi Arabia, because it's the first game.
Yeah.
But Spain Portugal is going to be probably everyone's first proper game to sit down and watch. Yeah. And it is a great game. To get you into the World Cup.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah, I'll try and wax up now.
And then you've got some decent games over the weekend as well. Then, the likes of, was it Germany-Mexico?
Germany-Mexico.
It's always good to see those different styles, isn't it? You know, the different continents playing against one another.
Very interesting World Cup tactics, you guys. So we'll see if we get a few lads, get Jamie and get, or maybe not Jamie, get Gar involved tomorrow. And,
okay.
Have a proper chat with the lads and see what they think is going to happen.
Yeah, I just think, you know, if we can get it out there, and especially with Al and Danny as well, and also Derek, who's coming on board from the football-y thingy-me-jig, that we'll give him more information on. He's a top fella, and he's not a Liverpool fan, so he'd be good to have in as an impartial witness in terms of what's going on. Let's get something done. You know yourself, I'm
on air admin.
Up for all this type of stuff, you know. Anyway, so look, I think that's about it. I'm just trying to find this thing. I can't find it. Everything was just thrown into in the.
Is that this weekend, is it?
The US Open, yeah.
US Open this weekend. As well.
So actually, Andy, quickly, wow.
The World Cup is stealing the US Open.
Have you got any 66-1 gems for us?
No, I haven't even really sat down and looked at it, but.
Joe's the man to listen to.
Who?
Joe.
Joe's me.
All right.
Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Well, Dustin Johnson won that competition too recently. He's not going to do it.
Golfer Fowler. Did he get married or something?
Robbie Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
I think he got married.
Did he?
He might be all happy and go out and tear it up.
Bash the course to bits.
Golfer Fowler.
Okay.
No other reason.
Look, if anybody, anyway, Reds Bet, of course, sponsored the podcast, and we said they are a fans betting site. And to be fair to them, they have a World Cup fantasy football competition going on. The first 1,000 Reds Bet players, it's free, so you can you can submit one team for free as long as you're one of the first 1,000-pound players. There is a big prize pool going of $25,000. We've all got teams in there, right? And yes,
Harry Kane captain first week.
Is it? So do you want to run us quickly through your team?
Yeah, Courtois in goal, Vertonghen, Jose Font, Thiago Silva, Titi, some lad called Svensson. In the middle, because you know, Svensson for Sweden's always.
You mean you pressed auto completely?
James Rodriguez, Christian Eriksen, Griezmann, Bobby Firmino. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll
tell you what we're going to do. We want all you guys to get involved out there, and if you can, it really will make a big difference. Steve, as part of your thing, will you run through the various different day trippers teams as part of the World Cup Tactics Board?
As in
this fantasy football, we'll send you on the team and you can show the graphics up and go through the various teams and on what our picks are for, right?
Yep.
So we'll do that all as part of the tactics board on Friday night. Thanks for watching. We know it hasn't been our normal show and there's been a few, there's been power cuts and everything that's been, it's been
gaps. Watch out for Flores off Peru.
with that, I got a big Zal.
I just noticed he's in me fancy team.
Jefferson Fairfan.